Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's my SD Tessa. This is my podcast. And my name is Tessa. And I'm here with Chai and my little snackies and my babe, Agent RX.
That's right. Welcome, guys. Welcome back to the Treatment Room Podcast. We are here with part two of our SD Bad Bitch series. If you guys haven't heard part one, it's kind of the intro to this conversation. We're answering a lot of your listener questions. Today, we're going to continue the conversation just because Josh and I feel like confidence is something we need to talk about in the industry. How can you lead your clients? How can you lead a business? How can you lead a presence on social media and have people watching you? How can you be influential without feeling like the leading person in your life and without confidence?
Yes.
And Josh, I know you have some thoughts on confidence and what it is and what it isn't. Do you want to share briefly?
Yeah. I heard on this reel one time, it changed my perspective on confidence. I always thought confidence was just swag. You know, you're just like, yeah. And like, it's just something you have or you don't have, or like, you know, some people can get it easier than others. But what it really is, what this guy said was, and I believe this, is that confidence is doing what you say you're going to do. And that builds trust with yourself. And when you trust yourself, then you make confident decisions. You come off as confident because you're making decisions. You're leading your life, like you just said. So yeah, I think to me, confidence is really, instead of something so far away out there, like we want to attain like a full book of clients, or we want to, you know, set boundaries with clients. We want to be able to rebook clients or enforce our cancellation policies. You need to start taking steps towards that. You know, you need to put yourself in the arena and start trying and build confidence little by little by just doing something, you know. But I think we're going to get into more details on how to do things with some of these questions. But you had something else we were going to talk about. I forget what it was. Oh, I did want to say, I posted on my stories, I'm going to share my mocktail.
Yes. What is it?
So it's lime soda water from Trader Joe's. You know, my whole life comes from Trader Joe's. So
yeah.
Lime soda water with chili lime seasoning on top of ice. You sprinkle the chili lime seasoning all over the ice, like a hefty portion. Then you pour the lime soda water. Then you squeeze a half a lime, and then you put a sprig of rosemary. And it's just, it tastes almost like a super light michelada. Like it is.
Oh, that sounds so good. I have that seasoning too.
It is bomb. And it kind of tints the water orange. So it almost has that like bitters look and feel. So it looks like a cocktail.
Gives you the illusion you're drinking. So, which you will be this weekend. So, I have to take a little break now.
I know. I'm going to be with the gays in the Palm Springs.
Yes. I can't wait to see the pics.
Oh, God. Messy. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about people who you look up to as your bad bees. Who do you feel like embodies that?
Well, I have three that we talked about because you kind of gave me a heads up and I was like, I am going to really think about this. And honestly, the first one that came to mind was my mom. Her marriage ended after 28 years and she went back to school and got her degree. Her master's degree. She got three degrees in a row, an associate's, a bachelor's, and a master's. And now she has a successful practice as an art therapist, which is basically she uses art and psychology to help people with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and traumatic brain injuries, a lot of children and older folks as well. So she just really used her, you know, kind of tragedy and turned it into a new life for herself. She evolved. and she found what made her happy at that point in her life, which she was almost 60. Like, we would think of 60 wow. as like your life is over, right? No. Like, wild, you know. And she's now thriving in her 60s with a practice and a whole new life. So she's number one.
Think of what you would, what you know at 60. That's such an interesting time to be reinventing yourself and dating again. Did she ever date
anyone? You know, she has a little bit, but no, she's really gone deep into her career. That's like what mattered to her the most. Though. I think, I think she's just like, fuck men. Like, you know, she's like, I'm doing this for me this time. Cause she's had four kids and a husband for 28 years. It's like, she was literally like that old school. You know, it was like that archetype of like women stay home, take care of the kids, like, you know. Wow. And so she kind of put all of her dreams and desires on hold for us and my dad. So.
Wow. Okay. Amazing. Well, I'm so happy for her. And I love that example.
Thanks.
Our moms would get along.
Yeah. Bad bees. Yeah. Who else? I mean, honestly, I feel like you're a bad bee. What? Yes. Hey. Like, especially like you and Ashley doing podcasts and stuff. Like,
Ashley's a bad bee.
She's sure. Oh yeah, she's totally bad bee.
She's queen bee.
She's queen bee. Yes. But she, you guys, both of you doing podcasts and staying committed to that, it's not easy. And like one of the questions I got on my stories when we posted this yesterday was, I have a hard time showing up. Mm. You know? And I think that is really, really understandable. It makes you vulnerable to show up, right? It's a vulnerable place to be because, you know, potentially you're being judged and your thoughts are kind of going wild. Like, oh God, how do I look? How do I sound? Never done this before. Yeah. And I think really bad bitches are just, it's not like you and Ashley are free of that, or I, you know, none of us are free of those voices. You know, we always doubt ourselves and stuff like that. It's totally normal. But the difference is that we put a foot, you know, we step and then we step and then we maybe like, oh, and we like go back a couple, but then we're like, nah, fuck that. And then we take a couple big leaps, you know, and that's the cycle that we go through putting yourself out there. And it's like, if you're having trouble showing up as yourself in person or online, it's like, I think you just kind of have to do it. Like, I don't think there's any real easy way, you know, you have to get over yourself. Like, you also, you know what? I was crying this morning, actually. I got to it was like 6 a.m. I was about to go to the gym and I walked outside and it was so peaceful and quiet. And I don't know, the sky was overcast, but it was peaceful. There was no cars or anything. And I literally started crying. And I was like, wow, I'm so tiny. I'm like, my life is so tiny. It doesn't matter. My stupid little stresses in my brain. Like, look at this big wide world. It's so amazing. And like, And I like cried. It was so weird. And then this bum walked by and I just looked at him and I was like, wow, like your life is tiny too, man. Like, you know, like, I don't know. It was such a weird moment. I was like, did I smoke weed this morning? No. Okay. Like, I don't know.
Oh, babe, I love you. No, it's so true. Really, life goes real quick. I can't believe I'm 32 years old. I know it's not old, but
32 years young.
32 years young. When I think about all the fears I've had and just time I've wasted being sad or nervous or caught up with something or someone, it's not to say those feelings aren't valid or, you know, they're not real, but I feel like what we're talking about with being a bad bee is kind of like your mom, like understanding we only have the time we have. Are we going to sit back and like be in the audience of our life? I feel like I'm still growing into my bad bee-ness, but I will say I've always been the shyest kid in class. I dropped out of public speaking in college because I truly did not think I was physically capable of standing in front of people and speaking, or if I ever had some kind of speaking report, something in class, it would ruin my life for weeks. And it's sad to think back on time that was wasted because I was so caught up and scared about that. And the other day I was looking through my podcast analytics and saw I hit 1 million plays.
Yes, man.
I truly can't wrap my head around that. But I just want to say, like, if you're somebody who wants to get on social media and you feel like, oh, I'd love to do that, but that's just, I'm not capable of that. Like, that's for someone else. I'm here to you. If I can do it and talk on a mic, I know you can. It's really just telling yourself these things are actually not impossible. They might be scary, but what small step can you take to just put yourself in a position where you can try? It doesn't mean you know you're going to succeed and have the top podcast ever, but could you just try? And it's like, as more time went on, you start to tell yourself a new narrative. You're like, oh, I'm a podcaster. And Josh too. And Ashley too. I remember talking to Ashley when she was thinking about it. And soon enough, you kind of just embody that character and you live it and you are that.
Which brings me to, since you said character, Beyonce. She's another bad bitch I look up to. I'm seeing her in August. I cannot wait. It's my first time seeing her. But for me, like, I think she embodies bad bitch because for just taking like what happened with Jay-Z and him cheating on her and then turning it into art, just like my mom did the same thing. They're women that like took bad things, turned them into art, literally. And you know, it's just, that's what I look up to. That's what I respect. That's what I want. That's how I want to be remembered when I'm gone, is like, he always evolved and kept going. The bad shit that happened to him, he kept reinventing himself and using that as fuel to make himself better. Like, that's what I want people to say about me. And I also want to use my life and my story, like you just said, and like what you just shared. I want to help other people to get out of their comfort zone, to get out of their fears, and to make moves and to make this world a better place, because that's what it is for me. It's like, I don't know, what else is the point of life? For me, that is the most meaningful thing that I could do, is like take all the pain that I had and all the pain that I experienced, share it with others, and then hopefully that encourages them to make a move on their own and take their pain and translate it to share it to the next person. Like, isn't that how we change the world, person by person, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm doing it here. You and I are doing that in the aesthetics industry, but our industry affects many, many, many other countless industries that we have no idea about, right? Yeah. Like the clients that we heal from acne, you know, a young girl in her early 20s that sees you for a virtual consultation, you clear her up of acne. Who's to say what would have happened with her life, what path she would have taken had she not cleared up her skin with you, right? Because now she's a more confident person. Oh, she can show up, right? Yeah. Yep. And so she'll say yes to the next opportunity that presents itself instead of saying, I'm not good enough, I'm ugly, I have acne, right? Simple as that.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many examples we could give, but it's like, that's a really good one. You know?
Yeah. It's truly a chain reaction, which is why I really do love what we do and think we have the best job in the world. Is it easy all the time? No. And there's so much that comes with it nowadays. But I think that's part of the community too. I feel like we're all in this thing where we know it's tough to market yourself, to keep your books full, all the things that we need to pay for as estheticians, to find the time to know our products inside and out, to bet on ourselves. It's not easy at all, but I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I wouldn't want to do anything else.
No. So should we get into some of those questions?
Yeah, let's get into the questions.
Well, I did get some great feedback, which felt really good. Tell in the us. DMs. Yeah. People loved. And
what did they say?
Just, I really loved this episode. It meant so much to me and it really was helpful. And then you saw the comments when you posted that. I loved that you posted that thing. People liked that one.
Oh, the clip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The real. No, I love that. Yeah, you are my Sash of Fears. That was amazing.
Oh my God. We need to talk about that. So Tessa brought up a really good point about Beyonce earlier when we were talking. Compare it with the Goryeos.
Okay. So Beyonce, I was saying to Josh, I really wonder what she's like in real life. And I just can't help but think maybe there's a small part of Beyonce that is like me and who has normal human vulnerabilities, maybe has stage fright at times. And I just wonder, did she create this alter ego, Sasha Fierce, so she could step into another character and not let those normal human things stop her from becoming Beyonce?
Yeah. And I think it's just, it's a cool trick, like creating a character and showing up. I did that with my Instagram with like wigs and stuff, because I was very much in my head about Instagram. I didn't know the game, and I saw all of these people with all these followers, and I'm just a tiny little account. And I was like, and I snapped one day. I was like, fuck this. Like, I like that. I want to show up, you know, but maybe I can make it more fun for me. And so that's where I like incorporated wigs and started doing characters, and, you know, and that just worked for me. But I think you could do that in your day-to-day life. You can just write down a character. One of my favorite quotes of all time. George Bernard Shaw. I don't even know who he is, but like I read this quote one time and I memorized it. It's basically, life is not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. And that is like, I want that tattooed on me. Like,
I love that.
Really tiny letters though. But like, you know, it's like, that's what we have to do. I think that's what it is.
I feel like your mind can so easily become almost like a prison, or you can just take things so seriously. Mm. I am so guilty of that, but yeah, I love the idea of an alter ego.
Yeah.
Just to take some pressure off. And it's like what you said in the last episode that really stuck with me about life being an experiment. It's not this serious thing where we have to show up, play our part, be perfect. You know, it really is about the experiment and trying some things and kind of seeing what sticks. What do you like? Even if something is a new skill, could it be something that you really love? Like, all of us took a gamble and went to esthetician school. I know, Josh, in your age and in my age going to esthetician school, it was not this glamorous thing it is now.
Oh, God,
I knew of like Renee Rollo and Shawnee Darden, but they were like so far away, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, I just want to try this thing. And I don't know. I love that SDs find this career, because it is truly a gamble.
Yeah, but you're betting on yourself, really. And I think I also, what?
Takes confidence, takes a bad B.
Takes a bad B, but it's also, I think you truly need to be passionate about this and like love this to last. I think people that struggle the most are the ones that got in it for the money.
Yeah, which is why I'm glad that was not. I remember Googling and it'd be like
24,000.
Pretty inaccurate, but like, yeah, that's what I saw. And I was like, okay, whatever it takes.
Yeah. You know? Also, those numbers are such bullshit, because it's like, if you know what you're doing, like, what? Like, I remember one year looking at that and then looking at my income, and technically I was like the 1% of estheticians. Like, I'd be, you know what I mean? Because like, I was like well over six figures and, you know, I was in my early 30s and I was like, what? Like, and the average, the median was like 30,000. I was like, that's what? Like, how does someone even, but that's a median of the state. So big cities, small towns, they all kind of mesh together. But I think if you're in a smaller town, or, you know, a more rural area, you're not going to be making as much as someone in the city. You can't really charge as much unless you're really adding value and, you know, you're in a great area. But anyway.
Yeah. I hope that's changing.
Okay, so one of the questions I got was, well, we both kind of got this too. I think it was about rebooking. And we answered this in the first one, but this one says rebooking clients, how much you should communicate in the treatment room. Ooh. And so I think this is like a specific scenario, which I did kind of say, like, I need to see you, which, oh my God, you should talk about that. I need to see you.
Yeah. So Josh also talked about this in the last episode. If you haven't listened, definitely go back and start there. But it is as simple as like saying the thing we need to say, not beating around the bush. And I think people really like to be led, and they always know in their head they have the option not to come back. Like, that is a given, but you don't want to lead with that. You want to lead with the goal is to see you when it's appropriate to see you. So Josh told me just to simply say, and he told all of you to simply say, I need to see you, you know, back in XYZ amount of time. So I did that today. I've never been that direct with clients. And
I love that.
And guess what my client said? She said, did not hesitate. She said, okay, I'm going to book it right now. Like, yeah. They were not thinking about it.
No, it's not a telenovela. Like, we think.
No. Could you imagine going to the dentist or getting your hair cut, something like that, that's for maintenance, and then, you know, your hairdresser or your dentist is just like, okay, bye. What? That's so unprofessional. Weird. We want them to say, okay, so we would like to see you back in August of, you know. If they didn't, it would be strange. And it, so weird. it almost communicates
lack of confidence
and would almost make me insecure as the client. Like, did I do something where they don't want me back?
Oh, yeah, you know? That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important. I think, yeah. And just to answer that question, what this person wrote, how much to communicate in the treatment room? Well, I think when they're on the table, it's really about their experience and less about stimulating their mind and their brain and filling them with things they have to remember. Like, this is their time to chill. Even if you're doing clinical like me, I still like them to chill. I don't really want to talk a lot. 'Cause I really like to focus on my work. That's how I am. Yeah. I really don't want to talk. So I would say it's at the end. Or at the beginning is when you use your words, and really the boundaries and all that should be set before they walk in the door via email and communication like that. Get that out of the way. And then at the end of the facial, if it's their first time, you really should have time built in to say, you know, here's your regimen. I'm going to email you the directions, or you write them down or print them, however you do it. But then you're going to say, like, so I'm going to need to see you again in 4 weeks. And then based on what they say, you can, you know, change whatever, you know. If they say, oh, like, I don't know, like, you need to learn how to read people first of all. Ooh, so you know what I mean, like, read body language, read the space here. Don't project your insecurities onto the client. Just be there, like, be with your client and observe. And, you know, if you notice when you say that, they say, oh, okay. Like, that to me, that's apprehensive, right? So that would be a reading of, okay, something else is going on. She can't commit. So then I would say, oh, is that good for you? Right? Like, I would say, is that good for you? Like, ask her, you know, not like what's wrong, but I'd be like, is that good for you? And then see what they say again. And if she's like, oh, like, maybe she's timid or they're timid. Mm-hmm. So I'd be like, is that going to work for your budget? I would just come out and say, get even more direct, right? If you need to. Like, to me, that's not a problem. Being direct is actually very helpful to clients, but you're never going to know. And I think most people are not going to be that shy. If they're coming to see you and you say, I need to see you in 4 weeks to treat your skin, I would say 90% of people are like, great, book me. Very, very simple. But on the off case that you do get someone that's, you know, oddly shy, or maybe they can't afford or something, that's where I would go into a conversation about budget. I am not shy about that. I want to know. What's your budget? Can you afford this? Okay. Can you do 6 weeks? Is that going to be in your budget? And I've had this conversation with clients and they're pretty forthcoming. I don't know. It's like, if you're direct with someone, they'll be direct with you.
I think we also want to give ourselves the benefit of the doubt here. And just remember, if they're already in your door, that's really half the battle. You don't want to talk yourself out of it or assume that they're not coming back. Assume everyone is coming back. And wants a regimen, which we'll get. Should we get into that next?
Yes.
I think a question that was asked was something to the effect of, you know, I struggle to recommend a client a skin routine. Is that what it says?
I think that's yours. You have it on your. Oh. Mine says selling retail and how to attract golden clients. I have that one. Selling products online. When does it get to be too much product pushing? We'll get to the, do you want to look for your question while I answer this one?
Yeah. She just asked, you know, she wants confidence in giving a routine.
Oh, got it. Okay.
To a client.
Yeah. Do you want to take that one first and then I'll go?
Yeah. I feel like to me, I know there was a time when I struggled with that, like in the very beginning, but as soon as I learned the benefits and saw the benefits, I just don't think of it anymore as like, oh, I'm just selling her these bottles of skincare. like, how do I do that? Like, to me, I'm just like, okay, there's a person in front of me who has a problem. The solution is to give them tools that they can use every single day. So for me, I have a thorough consultation. I'm upfront in my language on my website about what a first-time client could expect after a first visit in terms of like a number of products they will go home with. They'll probably go home with 3 to maybe 6 products if they don't have anything at all, to give them the setup they need for the bare minimum. I'm not going to give them everything they will need in one visit, but I want to set them up with enough to have a solid routine to maintain their skin every single day. I think because home care is my bread and butter, and because I know the biggest difference comes from what the client puts on their skin daily, I just know it's key. It's not an option not to. So, I typically actually follow up via email with a treatment plan and directions on how to use the products. I send them, you know, a schedule for how they can use each every single day. And it's just, it's very clear. I just kind of think of it as not subjective. Like, here's the treatment plan, you know?
And yeah, it's like a standard.
Yeah. When you phrase it as your treatment plan, people understand like everything's fitting together. It's not just like you went to Sephora and you were picking up random things. Like, here is a professional saying, I need you to use these things on these days. So I do think writing things out, making it clear for the client, the steps, is something they should have. They should know how to use everything. There shouldn't be any questions. And then I do provide a way for somebody to get in touch if something goes wrong or if they have a question about the product. I have an open line of communication. I do manage that in a way that all my clients know this is not where we are talking for hours. They know by now they need to book a follow-up if it's something extensive or if that does happen. Actually, I did have a new client the other day. The email itself took me about 10 minutes to read, and obviously it took more time to respond to. So I said, I did respond to the questions. I explained, but I wasn't as lengthy as she was. And I said, if you have any more questions, let's meet for, you know, another appointment. So I'm rambling, but that's how I do it.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think communication, you really stressed the importance of, from what I heard, it was like the first time the client comes into contact with your business while they're in contact, and then, you know, exit strategy too. Like, it's like, you know, exactly, here's how I'm running my business and here's where people fit in and here's what to expect. And then if they're trying to get more out of me than is within that, they're going to be put on notice that, nope, you're back into the loop of, okay, you need to book, you know, a virtual with me. So
I have a question for you. So I guess I have a luxury I'm realizing here, and I'm realizing the person asking this question maybe doesn't. So if they're in the treatment room, the client is there that minute. I mean, I did this at spas, but I didn't have the luxury of time to really think about the whole plan, write them, you know, everything. What do you do with a new client? Do you talk through products in the appointment? Is it just afterwards you say, this is what I think you need?
So for me, I get their regimen up front. So it's digital. They fill that out first. So I get that before I see them. So I can formulate and go over everything based on their concerns. I'm like, boom, 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 connect solutions. This doesn't work. I don't like it, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all done in the matter of minutes in my head. And then I'll write some notes. And the way we have it set up is that you come in for an hour and a half, their first appointment, and the facial is really an hour to an hour and 15. It depends. Everything depends on the client and their skin, but there's always that 15 minute buffer at the end. We want at least 15 minutes to go over things, have them hold the product, you know? Okay. And so anyone listening to this, you can visit my website, agentrx.co. You can go to new client and then just look at what I do, and you can copy whatever I do. It's fine. I am set up as a clinical treatment-based esthetician. So no one just comes in and first time is like, oh, I'm going to get a hydrofacial. Like, no, they never, ever, ever get to tell me what to do. Never. Mm-hmm. It is not a thing. So if your business is set up where you have the fluff and fold facial, the lavender facial, that's fine if you want to be that esthetician, but then understand what you're putting out there. You're putting out there, hey, client, I want you to choose. I'm not the one guiding you. You're guiding me. I work for you. That's what you're saying. So think about it. Is that who you want to be? And it could be fine. Like, if you want to be the esthetician, that's fine. But if you're questioning how to grow your business and how to give retail, and then you need to set it up a little differently, right? You need to set it up from the start, like Tessa has it, like I have it, that we are the experts, you're coming to us. So we've kind of already gotten rid of a bunch of people that would not be interested in what we have to offer, right? Because we're setting it up that way. So I think that's where I would start, is at that foundation level of, well, how do I recommend a routine? Well, you tell the client before they even come to you, in your language, it should be in your marketing on Instagram. Like, this is who I am, you know? I love happyfaces.co. Kendra on Instagram, she's very good in her marketing about saying, this is what I do. Like, she's very direct. A lot of our friends are. Crystal Selfish, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to all these babes. Monique, Bird of Paradise Skincare. So it's just, that's just how it is, you know.
Yeah.
We've set that up. And on our Instagrams and on our marketing, it's like, this is who we are. This is what we do. So if clients find us through the medium that we're advertising, then they're prepared, right? So how are you finding your clients? Mm-hmm. One of the girls that I mentor, she's in New York, and she's like, she has a spa out of her house, and she was feeling really like not confident. You know, she's like, it's in my house. And like, what do I do? And I'm like, look, here's your advantage. Like, you're in your home. So, and you're in a smallish town. She's not in Manhattan. Right. So I was like, where you're at, you have to see where you're at. You are in a small town. What are small towns known for? Everyone knows everybody, right? It's all about small community, small, right? So use that to your advantage. You need to go in person to hair salons, to Pilates studios, to whatever we talk about. I've talked about this so many times on Good Skin Circle, but in person is much better for smaller towns. I mean, it still works for big cities too, but that's where you can really get clients. I wouldn't really focus on Instagram, in my opinion, maybe, but if you're just starting out, go to those places, introduce yourself to the hairstylist, say, hey, I'd love to have you in for a complimentary facial. So anyway, I told her to do this. She came back to me. She's like, I went to one salon. I saw the woman that owns the salon. She sent her daughter. Her daughter sent like three friends. And it's just rolling now. One place she went to. She got out of her comfort zone. I hyped her up. I was like, no, you're going. I was like, you are getting in your car tomorrow and you're going. Give them your cards. She did it. And now she's like rolling in clients. So.
Love that.
Anyway, I got sidetracked, but yeah. Next question.
Yeah, next question.
Oh, the selling online. Selling products online, when does it get to be too much product pushing? So I would really say that this is another like a mind shift, yes. I think.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
I think you are such a great person to answer this because I feel like you are so good. It's about education, right? Like that's what it's about. And that's what you really exemplify on your Instagram.
Thank you. It's about education and it's about saying it in a way that's natural and normal that you would share with a friend. Even if I was not selling to clients, I'd be talking about skincare. I'd be showing skincare on my Instagram. You already know if people are following you, they're kind of interested in skincare and they don't mind seeing skincare products. There are estheticians who are doing millions of dollars in sales. So much money, you guys. And because of the way that they do it, you're not really bothered by it. And so I have a hard time believing the person asking this question is actually selling too much. I would think about how can you do it in a way that is more organic, more fun, that does not feel stiff or forced. Yeah, I do know what you mean because I think that way too sometimes, but it's not a abundance mindset. And I just think we have to get comfortable with sales as estheticians, but reframe it. Sales is not a dirty
four-letter word. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the business of selling skincare solutions. So if you believe in a product, I don't care if you're talking about it every day on stories. If
you should be, actually, in my opinion,
you should be, and that repetition makes people feel comfortable. They feel like they know what to expect. And it really takes people seeing messaging like way more times.
Eight times I read. It's
yeah.
Before they consider. That was yes. The thing. It's not that they'll buy. It's that they'll consider like, buying. Oh,
that clicked. So you could talk about one product probably in 25 different ways. So there's a lot of ways to do it. But yeah, I think you just got to get comfortable. And I think it's a thought we all have from time to time. So it's so normal. But I just wouldn't think of it as a negative thing.
Honestly, I really don't give a fuck. I have to be honest. Like when I get on stories, which I don't, I am not known for like selling product on my stories. That's not my thing.
I wish you'd do it more.
I know. I wish I would too. And I try and I did today, but like every time I do, I get sales. And so it's like, but it's just, I have so many, you know, irons in the fire right now with Agent Rx doing wholesale. And I'm kind of more into like supporting the esthetician community right now. And so my like retail client stuff is kind of taking a back seat because I want that to be Alicia, you know. Mm-hmm. I want my esthetician to take that over. So I'm kind of moving more into that realm. But anyway, I don't think there's, to answer her question, I don't know. I just don't think that you're on stories enough. I don't think you can. And I don't think it's offensive unless you're just being tacky, which you're not. So
no. And I wanted to kind of echo that and say we really have the advantage here. Like
I think
this
so.
This is our profession. These are lines that are part of our business. It's not like we are just, if you think about, we've all seen sponsorships that do catch us off guard and do feel salesy and unnatural. And that happens when somebody's not really aligned with the partnership, or, you know, it's just kind of a random choice. You can tell it's a cash grab, but
yeah,
it's just like, it is our normal. So we really got to get comfortable in it before we can even sell to anyone else. But,
and I think it's like, you know, like you said, it really is that. It's, if someone's following you on Instagram, mm-hmm. I almost feel like they like expect and need to be shown. Like they want to know.
They want to.
So like, just educate them. Yeah, they're interested. Exactly. If you follow, you know, a ballet dancer, you yeah. want to, you're mm-hmm. interested in ballet and you want to know the ins and outs. You want to know what kind mm-hmm. of slipper she uses, right? Mm-hmm. You want to know where, what school she's going to and what latte she drinks so that she doesn't get jitters before she does the toast. I don't know. I'm making up weird shit, but like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, so
your favorite following fashion influencer.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Know? That's much better. You want to know what fucking buckles she's wearing on her belt and like, you know, her earrings and yeah. Please sell me
products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me your Amazon storefront, like, or whatever yeah. shop you're repping. Yeah. I don't think it's a thing.
No. And it's like, we are the people who know the industry. We know what is good. When we are partnering with a line, it says something that we truly believe this has the potential to change somebody's skin. So it's just, I think, in my opinion, very different from a skincare influencer or the Kardashians just posting
everything. they're an expert yeah. in everything, apparently. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they have a skincare line. They have this line. That's why people don't trust them, because it's everything's about right. money. Everything's right. a cash grab. Everything's a new brand. So it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, remember a few years ago when they were like repping like all of the like supplements and like all these weird companies?
Yeah.
Remember on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so no one trusts them. Of course not. But mm-hmm. you're just an esthetician. You're not Kim Kardashian. Like, you're fine. Get out of your head. Get on stories. Start selling. Also, what I told Alicia, we had this conversation. She was like, I don't want to show up really. Like, you know, she's new to Instagram. It's so normal. Yeah. And I was like, babe, look, yeah. just hold a product in your hand and take a picture and then say, you know, this helps with brightening the skin. There's, you know, ergothionine from mushroom extract. There's vitamin C, whatever it is. That's what you say on the story. And then just put a quick link. That's it. You start there before yeah. you get into doing your regimen on camera. But like we were saying, building confidence, building trust in yourself. Say, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to post a story tomorrow that's going to sell a product, and I'm going to educate a client, and then do it. Hold yourself accountable. And then maybe eventually after doing that 5, 6, 7 times, maybe you'll challenge yourself to be like, you know what? I'm going to do my nightly regimen on a reel, right? Yes. And just baby steps. And you'll get there, babe. You will. But you won't get there by just living in your head. That's the point.
Yeah. And just remember, like my teacher in SD school used to tell us this, because we were terrified to sell. She would remind us, people have to get their skincare somewhere. Like, they're going to go get it somewhere. They're going to go to the Target or to Ulta and buy something. They might as well be buying something from a professional who says this is actually useful.
100.
So.
I love that. Okay. So you had that one question that was really good. I forgot, but it was about, how to break up with a client.
Was that okay. Firing a non-compliant client to make room for the golden clients.
Yay.
You're the expert here.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny because it would depend on what area the compliance is. I've experienced all of them, but I've shared before about this client that's been seeing me for 12 years and she was consistently late. And I was really kind of nervous to I didn't want to fire her, but I just wanted to address the situation and be like, you know what? I'm actually not cool with this anymore, because I kind of let it slide and I was fine with it. Mm-hmm. She was also the client that would cancel on me the day of and be like, please charge me. Please charge me. Like, it was never a problem. Okay. Never. I would just charge her card and I'd be cool. I got an hour off. I got an hour and a half off. Like, it was fine until it wasn't. And then it started feeling like, you know what? No, Like, that's not okay. Like,
it's a commitment thing.
Yes. And it's my time. I could have had other things lined up, you know, or I could have seen another client. And so for me, it took on a different life of its own. And also, like, I'm just not really as fulfilled as I was in the treatment room anymore. And so I think that started kind of weighing in. And so anyway, I had the conversation with her and I just said to her, like, hey, like, you know, you can't be late anymore. Like, I feel like it just, it makes me feel like you don't respect my time. That's what I said to her word for word. And I had like written this down because I wanted to say it in the right way. And I really love her as a person. Like, we get along so well, but I just had to say that to her. And I said, this is really hard for me to say to you because I don't want to offend you, but like, you know, if you're not on time anymore, like something's going to have to change or I don't think I can see you anymore. And she was like, oh my God. She's like, no, I will be on time. She's like, I'm not losing you. And she's like, you just had to tell me, like, I have friends, I'm the late person and my friends get so mad. And so now people just have to tell me, I know if I'm late for them and they're upset, I won't be late for them. And I was like, wow, okay. But like, you know, that's her thing that she has to work on. Mm-hmm. But like, it's just funny, you know, it's like, she was like, well, now that I know, I'll never be late. And I'm like, okay. So
people are always testing the waters, you know,
that is such
it's just human nature. Like if we can get away with more freedom for ourselves, we will try to. So it's up to the professional.
And also, and where we live, the time in which we live is all about convenience and quickness and instant gratification, really. And so you have to take that into consideration. This is the playing field that you're working with here with clients, right? And so unless you are setting those boundaries and being like, here's how it works and here's how it will end, then, you know, that's your problem, right? Like they're expecting to just get whatever they want all the time unless you tell them.
Yeah.
So you got to tell them. And I think firing a client for me, one of my favorite clients of all time, she still flies. She moved to Washington, D.C. with her husband, and she still flies back to see me every month. She is so fierce. Wow. But she is one of the ones where I had to fire a client like years ago that I didn't like. And she wrote me an email. I was like, help me with this, because she's like the coolest client. And so literally all she said in the email was like, hi, Susie. I've been so happy serving your skin over the past few years. And it's been such a pleasure. Unfortunately, my books have gotten to the point of where I can't focus on as many clients as I was before. And so I have a good recommendation for you, but I don't think I can see you any longer. I'm focusing my energies elsewhere. It was something along those lines. It was so like, it was so diplomatic. And like, I was like, oh, and she wasn't like a super regular client. You know what I mean? Like she would just like pop in and out. And that's why I didn't like her.
Yeah.
And she wasn't consistent. And so it fit in that scenario, you know? And I think everything is so custom. Like a lot of the things I do with the estheticians I mentor is when they have problems like that, we drill into exactly the relationship, what it is. Like you need to know, like, who's the person you're speaking to and what's their offense, right? Like if you got arrested, you'd go to court and they'd bring up like, okay, these are the charges. So like if you're bringing your client up on charges that you want to fire, what are the charges? What is it that's bothering you about them and that you want to get rid of? And then take that and formulate something to give back at them, you know, in a simple way. Like, just be very simple and just be like, this is what I want and this is what I don't want. Yeah,
and it's okay.
It's totally okay. And their reaction is up to them. It's not on you. They get to behave like a child if they want. And you get to sit there and look at them and be like, oh, okay.
And I will say, because I've just had my first experiences doing that this year, it gets easier. The first one or two are like, oh, it's so hard. You can't sleep. It's like in cold sweat. And then you kind of get used to it and you step into, I guess, the confidence of knowing like things are going to be okay after you do that. Generally, they're not going to send a big angry email back. They're probably just going to either try to meet the demand or say, okay, bye. And it does make room for somebody new. I've been doing that more lately. And I wonder what you would think of these examples, Josh, but I'm thinking of like two situations where it's happened. I've had a client that I just felt with every meeting, budget was the focus of the meeting every single time, where it felt like I really couldn't deliver the result that I feel happy with. And yeah, it just felt like the priority was really spending the least amount of money. So I kindly had to say, you know, I don't think our time is best utilized talking about budget. And some people might feel differently, but I just find in my business, if I'm always catering to the lowest bidder, like Josh was kind of saying before, I'm not in control and I'm not attracting my golden client. So it's not to say I'll never touch on budget or I don't want to understand what's appropriate, but I'm not like the bargain market, and nothing on my menu really indicates that my goal is to give you the lowest price as possible. That was one instance. And then I had this one client where I would spend a lot of time creating a treatment plan, writing out the next steps. And every time we did that, they would take the information and then go use a different brand of similar products and kind of try to recreate what I was doing with different
Agatundra
brands. Isn't that just odd? Like, and now that it's
disrespectful.
Happened, once it's weird. Happened twice, it's just, yeah, you. And it's awkward because they obviously paid for the meeting. And that's when I had to start setting some new boundaries and even make my language more clear on my website. Like, I never thought I would even have to do that, to say like my recommendations are intended to be purchased from solely my business and, you know, no outside vendors.
Absolutely.
You have to understand when you're stepping into somebody's place of business, those recommendations, like it needs to be mutually beneficial.
I think that's really such a great point that you brought up too. It's like really stating that policy. I am always telling people, be as clear as possible on your forms, like anything. And here's the thing, like this is what we talked about in the first episode, experimentation, right? Everything's an experiment. So you're going to come up against a challenge. Like you came up with this esthetician that wanted to change the regimen, right? Let's pause right there. This is an opportunity to now learn. So don't get stressed about it. Don't go, you know, stressing and losing sleep. No, just recognize it for what it is. This is a great opportunity for me to now learn what my boundaries are. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that she did that. Yeah. Okay. How am I going to implement that so no one else does that? Don't hold it against them either. Don't make it a problem, right? Make it a solution and make it like, great, I'm so glad this person brought this to my attention. And now I know myself better. Mm-hmm. Now I know my business better, right?
So true. So true. And now I can prevent this from happening in the future by being very clear with my language and setting the expectation from day one. Because of course, again, people will try to get away with what they can. If they can get something they think is similar for free, they're going to try to do that. And that's okay.
That's not my client.
My clients.
That's my favorite saying.
I can't have a business if every client thinks that way. And, but clients don't think that way because everyone's thinking for themselves. They're not thinking that, you know, other people are having that same behavior. But I did just want to bring that up because I think there's moments as a business owner, you're like, am I allowed to have this policy? Like, am I allowed to enforce this or that? Yeah, that's really kind of the purpose of having a business. And all I know is for me, that doesn't feel good to me. And it doesn't feel like an equal energy exchange. So I can't continue with that in my business.
I agree. I think that's so important what you brought up, the energy exchange, because also, I think just having this community to refer to you know, having podcasts and really getting into our community mm-hmm. and listening to others yeah. is what's going to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, with that, what you were talking about saying, oh, is this policy okay? Can I enforce this policy or can I even have this policy? Yes, you absolutely can. You can do whatever the hell you want. Number one, I'm giving you permission right now, but also you're going to have people to echo, you know, your experiences if you are involved in the community. And that's why I freaking love Golden Experience Guide and what we're doing in Vegas, like having that small get together. Amarte is sponsoring the house. We had some technical difficulties before, so we had to start this over one. I think I talked about this already, right? But yeah, so the house
We're
doing in June around the IECS Vegas. And that's going to be estheticians just coming together, learning from each other, having a little fun at the pool party. And listening to podcasts and everything. I think that's what I love about this. You know, it's just like we're really sharing what we know and what we've been through, and so that we can relate and all be better as a whole, you know?
Yeah. 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 Do people buy tickets to that event?
Yeah. So, they can visit, theevolveshop.com. It's Ashley Curtis, Ages shout Ashley on Instagram. Ashley. Yeah. Shout out to Ashley. And, she has it on her website. It's under, her products, and it's like a little ticket. It's $15. It's like, yeah, we're not trying to make money. It's just to like pay for pizza and the waters. Mm-hmm. But we're giving away like so much great, like it is going to be amazing. Like Ashley is the best host and she does everything so beautifully and just everything is coordinated and branded and beautiful. Like she has these little mints that says Golden Experience Guide. Everyone's going to get a tin with these mints and they're like stars. The mints are stars and they're like delicious. I know. It's like, and everyone gets notebooks and like, it's going to be so, so amazing. And it's going to be a really good time for like just chilling as well. Like, you know, not work. We have like the work section learning together. And then there's like the pool party and just like chilling.
I love that.
Yeah. I wish you were coming, babe.
I know, babe. Next year. Like
next year for sure.
Make me.
I will.
To it.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Is there anything else you want to shout out about yourself or
my course on Golden Experience Guide? I never promote it and I really should.
Please do. It's an amazing course.
It's called Your Signature Products, and it's really about how to get started in your business. You know, thinking about branding your products. And I just really think that every small business esthetician should have at least one branded product, like at least one, if not three, but like start mm-hmm. there. And I just walk you through all of the steps on how to do that. Even for waxers, eyebrow, lash artists, estheticians, everyone, there's something in there for everyone. It's a great course. And it's really just sharing a lot of my knowledge that I've amassed over the past 18 years. So, but the other thing I want to talk about was just defining a bad bitch, because I wanted to read what I wrote, because yesterday you had asked me and I thought about it too, because I was like, you know what? I really want to define this for myself. So I'm just going to share what I wrote.
Yeah,
hopefully sure. It resonates. So I think being a bad bitch is earned. You don't get to have that title by being hard and jaded. That's not it for me. It's when you've been through hell and come out stronger because you know yourself better. You've learned how to soften, to love and care for yourself. The hard times, the heartbreak, and the loss have taught you that life is precious and you only get one. So make sure you're happy with yourself. A bad bitch focuses on themselves and what they're doing and what is meaningful to them. They're able to stay continually curious and open to life and evolving. They take risks and fail. Then they do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, they succeed at things and people see them as a bad bitch. Because like, just trucking along. Yeah.
You can't get caught up in the mistakes and dwell on them. It like, you can't get attached to it. No. Mess up. Okay. Learned. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
Move on to the next.
See everything that way. That's the growth mindset. Seeing everything that way. Yeah. I love you, so babe. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Love you. You're so welcome. It's always, always just such a treat to have you. You're so special. We're all so lucky to have you. I'm so happy to share you with everyone. Yeah, no, you really are. I feel like you bring out a very, just a cool side of the industry. And I feel like you are, I was going to say the glue, you're the gluey. Just with so many of us connecting, so many of us and getting us talking about important stuff, you know, beyond just our products, which are important too, but I'd say more the human experience side of being an SD.
I love that.
So we love you, babe.
I love you. And you, I feel like there was a quote you were going to read to close out. Remember we talked about?
Oh yeah. I did want to share this with you all. I was thinking about this last night. So we're talking about bad bitch behavior, Beyonce, you know, the type. We're not going to just wake up tomorrow and be Beyonce, but I've hopefully a lot of you are feeling inspired by these episodes and like, wow, I want to have more confidence, but how do I get there?
Yeah.
Again, you're not going to magically wake up and be that. It really starts with the thoughts you have today and right now. So I feel like a really good place to start with all of this. So it's not just a fantasy. It's, I really want everyone to be their best, most confident self. Think about the thoughts you have today and with the rest of your day and as you're going to sleep, and notice the ones that are not so bad bitch. And when you notice that, you can think like, what would the confident version of myself say? How could I reframe this? Mm-hmm. And I do think thinking of things as if they are already happening is the way to go with this. So just remember, you really become your behavior, and it all starts with your mindset.
I love that. I think something that worked for me too, which I don't know, it sounds so simple and basic, but like literally every morning I get up and I tell myself, good morning, gorgeous. Good morning, beautiful. You're so handsome today, especially when I'm hungover. Oh. And like anxiety sets in.
Ooh, that's why I don't like, drink.
I know. I've cut down drinking so much and like, but if I do, that's where I'll go. I'll just be like, okay, you can do this. You're fine. And it's worked so well. Like I don't get anxiety as bad as I used to. I used to freak out. I used to be like, oh my God, like my body would shake and I'd be like, oh my God, what did I say last night? Was I an idiot? What did I say? Like, it was so weird. And I'd like replay things and be like, did they see it that way? Like it was so bad. I don't know. I've evolved and changed a lot, but it's because of my thoughts. I've started really taking control of like, no, that's not me. No. Discard that thought. Move on.
Yeah.
We're choosing our thoughts now. We're in our choose our thoughts era.
Yes. I love that. Well, I hope that message touched someone out there. Definitely let us know if it did. Let us know your thoughts. We love hearing your feedback.
I literally love getting a DM and tagging us. Yeah, like tag us in your stories. Like, I love it.
We're just sitting here like talking to ourselves. So when somebody's like,
yeah,
that meant something to me.
Yeah, it wasn't just
us. It really does. It keeps us going, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. It inspires me. Like getting those messages today from yesterday's episode. I'm like, girl, we got to record today. We're finding a way.
I know. And Josh and I both, after this episode, the first episode we did, it was not very bad B of us, but we were like, was that okay? Did we sound normal? Yeah. Was that English? You know? And just even the like couple of you who have said it clicked, or it was empowering, or just fun to listen to.
I loved it. I appreciate it, babes.
Yeah, we really do. Don't forget to leave the pod a little 5-star review.
If you enjoyed it,
it really goes a long way for small podcasts. Keeps the pod going. So
please,
that means a lot. Let us know what you think on Instagram. I'm going to link Josh's handle in the show notes. If you're not following him already,
you must. I'm a good follow.
He really is. My daily entertainment. And so much to learn from Josh. Josh and I are going to do a little one-on-one where I might share some stuff he needs help on, and he's going to help me make sure my policies are like solid as possible, but definitely go give him a follow.
Love you guys. Thanks for having
thanks
me
for coming on, Josh. Love you so much. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Cue the music.
Bye.
Oh, I'm the one recording.